Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Oh, there we are. We made it. Happy Saturday night, everybody. It is 10:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the UFC event, UFC Vegas 29, is over. It's all done. Korean Zombie gets back in the win column. A very fun, technical battle between the Korean Zombie and Dan Ige. TKZ gets back in the win column and puts a bow on a pretty interesting and pretty fun night of fights for the Ultimate Fighting Championship coming out of UFC 263. Thank you for joining us for the UFC Vegas 29 live post-fight show. I am Mike Heck, and I believe it's just a tag team, a two-man crew here, being joined by the man who wears many hats on the ones and twos, Mr. E. Casey Lydon. How are you, sir? How did you enjoy the festivities tonight? I can't hear you.
Gosh darn it, I was muted. I just had this whole great thing I just said. I can't repeat it. Whatever. Korean Zombie.
I figured.
Korean Zombie, baby. I was very confident going into this fight that this was Zombie's fight to win. And yeah, Korean Zombie showed up. And good performance from Ige. But yeah, Korean Zombie's the man.
Good for him. I thought it was an interesting fight. The scorecards were all over the place. They were everywhere. My scorecard was vastly different than yours. I gave Ige the first round very slightly, gave him the fourth round very slightly. I thought Zombie easily won two and three, and obviously he won the fifth round because of position, and Ige had some scrappiness to him, but in the end, it was TKZ put a stamp on it. So how did you score the fight? Did I see that correctly? Did you score 50-44?
Yeah, I gave every round to Zombie. The close rounds, rounds one and three, or rounds one and four. Were those the close rounds? Those are the debatable rounds. Is that what?
Those are the debatable rounds.
Yeah. Well, I gave. I can see those going Zombie's. I mean, going Ige's way, whatever. But I gave all five rounds the Korean Zombie, plus a 10-8 round for the round where he was stuck in that body lock for like 30 minutes. So yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I scored a 48-47 for Zombie.
Yeah, and that's why this is why we talk about this all the time. Why I hate the 10-point mess system. It's like 10-9, how 10-9s are just not created equal round to round. So why I scored it a 50-44, the fight was more competitive than the score sounds.
You know, I would agree. Yeah, I would completely agree. And props to Dan Ige, because there are very few guys at 145 pounds who will get on the microphone after a victory and call out the Korean Zombie. He did that went the full distance with him, and there we go. And I believe Jose is potentially joining us as well.
Jose, we got Jose here.
Joining us. Jose. I've been here.
I don't know.
I don't know why everyone was like, oh, you guys, we're the two-man show. I've been here since the beginning. I don't know why. People ignore me. I was like, as soon as you said,
the green room the whole time.
I wasn't. Yeah, I was here before everybody. I just didn't get called.
No, me. In. I was.
Oh, okay. It was very whatever.
So how are you, Jose? How did you score the fight?
4-1 zombie. But again, don't take. I'm going to preface this because I think more people, more journalists should do this. Don't take my word for grain of salt because I'm a very big Korean zombie fan, and I'd obviously watched it with rosy glasses. So don't take what I say, all my zombie praise, with a grain of salt. I think Dan Ige is a very awesome, exciting action fighter. I'm always going to tune in to watch his fights, but I am the self-proclaimed biggest Korean zombie fan out there. So again, don't take my praise with a grain of salt, because I was going to praise zombie no matter what.
But we can agree the right fighter won. I mean, I know we can argue rounds, but the right fighter won.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's all that matters. Yeah. It wasn't like a
split. 100%. Yeah, that's Danny Gay, great effort. Eric Nixick, tremendous coaching. That's why I like hearing the corner cams in between rounds. I don't like when they go to commercials. Eric Nixick did a fantastic job. Coached Danny Gay up perfectly. Zombie just seemed to step ahead of him. And now Green Zombie moves to 3-0 when he does his camps in the United States at Fight Ready in Arizona. So there you go. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. Just keep doing your camps there, and maybe you'll be a champion of the world. And that kind of leads me to my next question, Jose Youngs. Where does he go from here? Because featherweight is in a weird spot right now, because we're still waiting for this title fight. We just lost Yair Rodriguez versus Max Holloway. We don't know what's going to happen there. The plan is we need to reschedule that at some point. What do we do? Like, where does Zombie go? Do we wait and see, like, when Calvin Kattar can fight? Because that's maybe the only fight that makes sense outside of those other guys. Like, what do we do here?
It's wait and see all around, no matter who it is. Either you wait for Kattar, you wait to see what happens with Yair and Holloway, or you just give him you have him fight way down in a really exciting fight in Giga Chikadze, which I don't think anyone would say no to, but obviously everyone ranking wants to wise, fight up. Ranking wise, it's not gonna make sense. But we all agree Giga Chikadze is better than his ranking shows. He's just now breaking in the top 10. Or you wait for Josh Emmett. I know Arnold Allen is out there, so you got to take a wait and see approach. No matter who you match him up with, you're gonna have to wait for a bit. Which is for zombie fans, I feel like wait has been the phrase that has been tied to their favorite fighter for many moons in this crazy fight game.
I will let my best friend AK Lee know that all of you are hoping he could be here. He is on boxing duty right now. He's doing the live blogs for the website for the card that will feature Anderson Silva versus Julio Cesar Chavez. And that will be going down
tonight. Yeah.
There's a lot of boxing going on. And
Monster Inoue's fighting tonight. Ooh.
Yes. And that kind of leads us to another thing we're going to be doing later on. And this will all, it's going to happen. When it's going to happen, we have no control over. But once that fight happens, once Anderson Silva and Julio Cesar Chavez make the walk, we're going to do a little watch along. So we hope you guys will order the pay-per-view and watch along with us. And we will just discuss it as it happens until it's over. So we'll have fun with that. So if it doesn't happen for like an hour and 45 minutes from now, we'll talk about UFC Vegas 29. We'll take a little break. You guys get some food, do what you need to do. And then right when the intros are about to start, we'll come back and we'll watch the fight together. I think we'll try something here, see how it goes. And if you guys dig it, maybe we'll continue to do it in the future. But we have bonuses, gentlemen. We have bonuses.
All right. That's my favorite part of the night.
All right. Jose definitely knows who they are by now.
Yeah, man. I've been making this graphic for a minute now because I had it all. I thought, because like as the fights go on and like these crazy fights and crazy performances happen, I try to get ahead of it. So, like, I think we can all agree Matt Brown probably gets one because that was a bad stoppage. So, Casey, I'm just going to throw that out there because that's an obvious one. So then, but then I had two more in the bank, and neither of them got it. So I got the fight of the night right and the Matt Brown right.
So there's a fight. Is there a fight of the night? There's a fight of the night?
Yes, of course. There's one fight of the night and two performance bonuses. And I only got one of the performance bonuses, and I got two, I guessed two of them, and they were both wrong.
All right. The fight of the night, Vera Grant.
Mm-hmm.
That was an easy one. Performance, okay, obviously Matt Brown. Now, I'm going to pick someone who I know didn't get it, but I think she deserved it, and that's Janjaroba with that dislocated arm bar that she should have had to finish within the first couple minutes. But Murata is a tough MF-er and somehow still fought a round and a half with one arm. But I doubt Janjaroba got it. So, but that's who I would have.
She did not get it.
I feel like she deserved it. She did
not. Yeah, she did not get it. And knowing you, Casey, if she won a unanimous decision tonight, you still would have given it to her because that's how you view her. And there's nothing wrong with that. No, that was great performance.
What was she submitted? She broke Murata's arm in the first 2 minutes of that fight. It was unreal.
It's impressive.
Murata, yeah,
she didn't get a bonus though.
Yeah, because UFCs they hate submissions, and when you're that low in the card, you almost never get one. I'm assuming the guy that beat up Wellington.
Nope.
Oh, you didn't get it. Wow. I don't know then. Oh, Choi. I guess Choi got it, mate.
Choi is the correct answer. No Casey O'Neill, no Ricky Glenn. After 3 years away and a 30-second knockout, he gets
Ricky Glenn. Yeah,
and a name change.
I had Ricky Glenn and Bruno Silva. Like, I had the graphic ready to go, and then our colleague Sean Alshadi ruined my graphic.
Dude, but I always say that's why card placement in the card matters. It freaking matters if you want that 50 grand. When you're that early on the card, if Ricky Glenn was a co-main event, he gets a performance bonus. But that's not how it works in the UFC. So here we are.
Yeah. I thought Bruno was the other guy. I thought it'd be Matt Brown and Bruno. We'll see. I mean, it's just a weird thing. If Vera Grant doesn't happen, I think the UFC was kind of like banking on four performance bonuses. They probably thought Vera Grant was going to be a good fight. They probably didn't expect it to be what we saw tonight because that fight was insane. Absolutely ridiculous.
Is this the first victory for Zombie where he has not won a performance bonus?
I think that might be an accurate statement.
I think it's his first victory.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Performance bonus, yeah. So congratulations.
Say it again.
For Korean Zombie, this is his first UFC victory without getting any sort of extra performance bonus, either fight
correct.
Of the night or
yeah. Correct. Cool. Correct.
Credit to Dan Ige. Dan Ige, 50K giveth and he taketh away.
That's true. That's very true. And that was his first decision win since 2008, right? 13 years?
Shut up.
Between decision wins?
Well, he was 1 second from being a decision win against Yair. But
yeah.
But yeah. Hey, but you don't fight for 4 minutes, 59 seconds. I mean, 24 minutes, 59 seconds.
That's right. Or 23 minutes. Just ask Leon Edwards about that.
Yeah.
May of 2008 was his last decision win. Up until tonight. That is insane.
Where?
That is a wild statistic.
Again, in deep? Is that the one you're talking about?
I think in deep, yeah.
Against UFC veteran Omagawa, too.
No.
Is that a different one? Oh, yeah.
For Korea FC.
Well, are we looking at a different one?
It doesn't say. The August 2008 one in deep, it just says win. At least I'm looking at Tapology right now.
Yeah, I see it as Michihiro Omagawa. But yeah, it just says win. That's all I see too.
Yeah. So
that was deep gladiator against Omagawa. That was his last decision win. Before that, he fought 3 days, three times in one night. And the last fight was a decision win.
He's such an animal, man. Such a fun guy. I could see why the admiration is there in spades from you, Jose Youngs, for the Korean Zombie. Great win for him. Dan Ige, no shame in the defeat, and he will move on. Featherweight is loaded. There'll be no shortage of opponents for him. Co-main event, Sergey Spivak defeats Alexei Oleinik. Throughout the broadcast, from like right after the fight ended until like he left the cage, John Anik was like, come Tuesday, Sergey Spivak's going to have a ranking next to his name. I don't know if I buy that. Like, I know that normally if you fight a ranked guy, like you just take their spot, but I just don't know if like the voting committee is going to be like, wow, that Spivak performance, let's shoot him into the top 15. Cause while it's a good win and Alexei Oleinik is a nice name and he's a veteran, he's got 7,000 fights. I don't know about you, Casey. It's nice to get the win. You want to get the second half of your paycheck, and that's what we're striving for. But in terms of like moving up the ladder, I don't know, man. I don't think his stock rose that much tonight after that performance. Am I crazy?
It's slightly crazy. I mean, he beat him pretty decisively. What was it? What was he ranked in the UFC rankings for it? What was
Oleinik?
Yeah, what was Oleinik ranked?
15.
15. I mean, maybe I don't know. Move him to 16, Spivak, and whoever's number 16 now 15. I never agreed with the whole if you know you were number five. You know, I never agreed you go right in front of the guy who you just beat. I don't like those type of rankings. But he's up there. I don't know. I thought Oleinik was overrated. I mean, overrated. I don't want to say overrated. I don't think he was 15th ranked. I think it was kind of based on it's UFC rankings. I don't know. I didn't see Oleinik as one of the top 15 heavyweights in the UFC. That's all.
So. Right. I'm not putting Sergey Spivak above guys like Alexander Romanov by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not going to happen.
So the rankings,
like, I just don't put him that high.
But the rankings were off then. You just didn't agree. Did you agree with Oleinik Shimon at 15 in the first place?
Oh, no. But okay. He was. And I just don't think that – I don't think that performance is like, wow, this guy's a top 15 guy, like automatically. I just – it was fine. But he was put in that spot to like go out there and annihilate that man, and he didn't do it.
I don't know.
So
I mean,
it's a nice win.
Oleinik's never going to get 60 wins. How long have we – 3 tries in a row. He's never going to get 60.
I know that one, Jose has to deal with as well, because he's been sitting on a graphic for a while and he hasn't been able to put it out there. So
I saw the graphic in our Slack channel. I was like, ah, he worked so hard on it.
I worked so hard on it like a year ago. I've just been chilling.
Well, it counts. Jeez.
Well, so Sergey Spivak kind of puts a pin in that for now, Jose. What did you think of his performance tonight?
It was a fight.
It was a fight.
Jed Meshew probably loved it.
It was a fight.
It was a Jed fight.
Oh, no. Jed fight was the first fight of the night. What was that?
No, the third round was a Jed round with both men just huffing and puffing, just absolutely exhausted. There's no technique, no cardio, just the 18th and 19th best heavyweights in the world just rolling around on one another.
Is that what we talk about, the barn burner between Josh Parisian and Roki?
Yeah,
that fight ruled.
Poor Roki, man. I thought he won that fight. I thought Roki won.
What did MMA decisions say? I mean,
I mean, it wasn't like we're not writing. I'm sure AK is not going to write a robbery review about that fight, but I was just like, man, Roki like did everything right. He lost a bunch of weight, like looking a little bit svelte in there. Yeah. He's looking quicker.
You know what? You're right.
What is that?
Looks like about, I would say, 8 out of 10 journalists picked Roque Martinez. They had them winning that fight. Or,
yeah, I thought he kind of got the hose job on that one. But you keep him around and you let him fight Chris Barnett and you give us that fight. Like, that is just that is just a fight we have to see.
I know you're saying Chris Barnett, but there's this gentleman from last week or 2 weeks ago, and he was in desperate need for a win at heavyweight. And I said, have him face the bottom tier heavyweights. And that's Walt Harris, maybe versus either Josh, how do you say his name?
Parisian.
Parisian. Josh Parisian or Martinez. But guys, think about Walt Harris. I'm talking about Walt Harris, you know, for someone for him to fight. And yeah, that's all. When I saw Martinez lost, I was like, oh, Walt Harris versus Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Parisian's fine. Yeah, if you want to throw Parisian in there.
Either one. They're kind of the same.
Yeah. Roki, Chris Barnett, loser leaves town, and then Parisian versus Walt. That's fine. If Walt, I mean, you kind of want to get Walt in there with like a striker at this point if you're just kind of giving him the best opportunity to win. Parisian's a good wrestler and good on the ground. So, but still, if you're Walt Harris at this point in your career, you should be able to beat a guy like Josh Parisian. And if you can't, then we kind of have some answers. But Chaos Williams, Matt Selmansberger was a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that one. I had no issue with the scoring on that one. Thought Chaos Williams won that one. Selmansberger had a good showing for himself, but in the end, Chaos won.
I thought it was a great victory for Chaos too, because he fought through some adversity and he fought a solid three rounds too. Because you know, we had those two first round like two knockouts in like 2 seconds each. You know, that doesn't tell you very much about him, even as a fighter. They can kind of really, you know, inhibit your growth as a fighter. And I think the Pereira fight, you know, he fought well, but just not strategically there. But Chaos, I think he learned from that prayer loss and looked great tonight. I thought, I don't know if he's a world beater, you know, top 10. I didn't see that tonight, but good victory for Chaos.
Yeah. Very composed out there. Yeah, I thought that was good. Obviously the move to Jackson Wink has done wonders. Greg Jackson in this corner and seems to be doing well. Siung Woo Choi got a bonus. Great performance against Julian Arosa. Arosa's a tough, durable guy. And to go out there and just smash him like that in the first round, that is not easy to do. So kudos to him. Bruno Silva, what a debut for him. Ground and pound. Knocks out Wellington Turman unconscious. That was sick. Nasty knockout. But we have to salute Mr. Salt and Pepper himself, Matt Brown. The guy just ageless in there. And I kind of like, I don't know. I felt like I picked Lima by decision.
Me too.
I was looking okay. But when they were introing Matt Brown and I saw like the little salt and pepper going on, the look in his eyes, I'm like, oh boy, this dude's here to scrap tonight. So what did you think, Jose? How did you react to Matt Brown landing that ferocious faceplant knockout punch?
Well, he definitely weathered the storm, which because if you watch the preview show, one of the questions was like, who's going to get hit in the junk first? I said probably Matt Brown because he gets attacked to the body on the reg, and Diego Lima throws a lot of kicks, especially with the leg kicks. But Matt Brown not only ate a bunch of kicks to his legs, he threw a bunch of kicks. So even outside of the knockout, I was just very impressed with Matt Brown's approach. I do have to want, because they kept talking about how much they had trained together and stuff, so I do have to imagine both men knew each other fairly well. But yeah, awesome fight. It was it the right or the left that he knocked him out with? Can't even remember. I feel like I blinked. I was like making a graphic for like Matt Brown's like UFC welterweight records, and I was like looking up through the corner of my eye.
Right straight.
Yeah, and I felt like I looked down and up, and it was over. Like it was over in a split second. So awesome fight for Matt Brown. I hope he gets another veteran high level fighter. I saw a lot of people saying he should fight Nick Diaz. I don't hate that fight. It's not going to happen. But I hope he gets another, like the Carlos Condit fight. I wish Dan Hardy was still in the UFC, because I want to see that fight too.
That would have been the fight to make. Brown versus Hardy. Comeback mm-hmm. fight. Could have made a big deal out of it. But that will not happen. What do we do with Matt Brown now, Casey? Do we get him in there with another like up and coming 170er? Do we just keep him on this veteran tour? Maybe do the rematch with Robbie Lawler or something. Like, what are we thinking?
Did the Matt Brown Carlos Condit fight ever happen?
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah,
Condit beat him
on Fight Island.
Oh, so they actually did fight. Okay, I remember that fight was like booked and canceled. All right, never mind.
Because it wasn't the fight.
So I don't remember everything.
It wasn't the fight. MMA fighting was on the scene for that one.
We're on the same for everything. That's what we do. We're MMA freaking fight.
Well, we were physically on. One of us was all the way in Abu Dhabi for that fight.
I know. I can't wait to find out who that person is and thank them.
I know. Yeah.
Jeez, what a great journalist they must have been.
You would be the first.
Is it AK? It's probably AK.
I don't think he can leave his country.
Yeah. Matt
definitely
Brown.
Wasn't me.
I don't know. Give Matt Brown. He's in. I didn't like the fight with Diego Lima in the first place. I think with Matt Brown's last, you know, three or four fights, I just didn't like this fight, but it turned out to be a good knockout. But yeah, Matt Brown versus Legend Store. I don't know. who are you saying? Since he already did the Conda thing, I guess. Oh, Lawler. Okay. Yeah.
Do a Lawler rematch. I just don't know who. Yeah, I don't know who else
is. Is Perry still a UFC fighter? Mike Perry? Did they fight? I don't know. I can't remember. I mean,
that's not a bad idea.
A lot of people are calling.
Action fight. It's an action fight. You know, not
a lot of people are calling for Mike Perry in our Instagram comments.
Yeah,
I mean, Diaz and Mike Perry were the two that a lot of people asked for.
I wish they would do the Nick fight. They won't, because I think Nick will probably be in the Masvidal sweepstakes. One would guess, because if he's going to fight, it's going to be a big deal and it's going to be in a big spot. And Matt Brown one probably isn't that. As fun as that would be for us fans, just not the fight Nick would probably want to come back to, considering he wouldn't make as much money. So we could ponder on that one.
Maybe the winner of Condit and Max Griffin. I mean, not Condit. The loser. Like, if Max Griffin wins, maybe we could do that.
Yes.
That would make sense.
I feel like there's a perfect name out there. We just can't see it.
Alex Morono. He just knocked out Cowboy. Cowboy knocked out Matt Brown.
Matt Brown, Michelle Pereira. Hey.
Oh, boy.
Just those clash of styles.
What about James Krause? That's a veteran. Both very good coaches. Like, Matt Brown is a phenomenal coach. James Krause is obviously, everyone calls him the cheat code right now.
I'd just be fascinated by that, to see like the game plans that they would put together for each other.
This is an interesting one. Someone just mentioned. I didn't think of this one, but I love the style clash.
They already fought.
Fight him again.
Matt Damian Maia is probably not going to have another UFC fight.
Oh, all right.
I mean, I like that fight. What about Cowboy Oliveira? Like, he's in desperate need of a win. He's an action fighter.
I'd watch that one.
Yeah.
You bring over Dougie Limes from Bellator and have him fight Matt Brown.
Just have a rematch.
Have that rematch. See Matt. Yeah. Dude, the Lima brothers. Lima brothers had a bad week. That's all I gotta say. bad week for the Lima brothers.
Has he fought Court McGee? Court McGee just won, right? Those are two veterans.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. What they're gonna end up doing is they're gonna throw him in there with like Shafkat Rachmanov or something, and it's just gonna be, we're just gonna be like, oh no.
It's a lot of rematches. I keep thinking of Matt Brown he's fought all these guys already. Like, you know, it's like, oh, Carlos Condit. Like, no, they're just fought. Like, all right. Maya, oh, they already fought. It's like, all right, I don't know. I like rematches.
Just sign Shinya Aoki finally and have him fight Matt Brown.
There you go.
Oh, I like that idea.
Problem solved.
I saw the one Wonder Boy rematch idea. Wonder Boy's obviously way too active right now.
Yeah, I know. I was just amazed at Matt Brown's how many top level guys he's fought.
He has the most fights in the history of the welterweight division in the UFC.
Really?
AK and I were discussing this when I was making this graphic, because he has the most TKOs, the most finishes, and the most fights at welterweight history. And we were going back and forth whether it should be 27 or 28, because he missed weight for Robbie Lawler. So technically that would be a catch weight. But we just decided it was scheduled welterweight fight. So he has 28 fights in the octagon, 20 scheduled welterweight fights under his belt, which is insane.
You know, he's only missed weight once too, right? He gets a mulligan.
It just happened at the worst time, because that was his first main event. It was the number one contender fight against Robbie Lawler.
You're right.
Yeah. It was against Robbie Lawler, and so then they announced like, oh, if Lawler wins, it's a title shot. If Matt Brown wins, he might have to win one more, and all that kind of stuff. It was just a bummer.
Agreed.
They're gonna give him like Liz Dez or something like that. Something crazy.
Yeah, I was gonna be like, "Why? Why are we doing this?"
And I'm not against that. I'm a big fan of, like, I like the way Japanese promotions do it. You leave on a loss, you know, you retire honorably with a loss, and like, but
But what if Matt wins? Then you just stunt the prospect.
No, you don't. And then Matt Brown. Then you go, wow, that's how you retire, Matt Brown. You knock out those kids and you go your hand held high. And yeah,
I don't think Matt's retiring anytime soon.
What about Pons and Ebio? That fight rules. Huh. They're both 1-1 on the last. They both lost on the same day on Fight Island. They both came back and got an epic fight of the year contender and then a crazy knockout. I mean, that fight rules.
I'm not even sure. Where's Matt Brown? Where do we have Matt Brown ranked? I don't even know. I know he's not
top 30. Top 30, but he transcends rankings. He's just in fun fights.
Yeah.
Like Condit. Like, you can give him whoever and it's going to be like,
if you're not going rankings, like, I still, like, I love Vet versus Prospect. So I love Matt Brown Baeza. You know, things like that. I'm all.
They already fought.
How about Matt?
They already fought.
In Jacksonville.
Who hasn't Matt Brown fought? God dang it.
Matt Brown was supposed to fight Baeza in Columbus, and then they got rebooked to Jacksonville. He knocked Matt Brown out dead.
Oh, yeah, right. I remember that.
That was Baeza's coming out party.
I was like, oh, Baeza's really good.
Yeah. He also, Matt Baeza was like a self-proclaimed Matt Brown fan, so he said it was like really weird, like, seeing him across the cage.
Okay, I need to open Matt Brown's topology page because I'm just going off. I can't remember how many freaking fights he has.
It's fought a lot.
Well, we could make life very easy. We can make life very easy and just book it from the same card. Do Matt Brown versus Chaos Williams.
I like that.
No one's complaining about that fight. Yeah. No one's complaining about that one. So lots of options. Matt Brown's in a good spot, and congratulations on a great win and an extra 50 G's. We saw.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Nick Nagumaranu, get back. He's been gone for a while. Gets a split decision win over Alexa Kamer. I don't know if we're going to see Mr. Kamer in the octagon again. I just don't know if it's going to happen after losing that fight and then losing to William Knight. Jen DeRoba, we talked about, great performance from her. She looked hungry and she looked motivated and she looked angry, and then she transcended into the fight. Casey, I know you thought she should have got a bonus, but just performance overall, like, I just wanted to get your thoughts on it because this is the one you had circled tonight. Are you surprised that it was so dominant?
No, I mean, I thought Murata was going to win a decision, but I've been so high on Jan Jaroba, and I thought she beat Carla Esparza. She was 1-1 going up Dern into the third round, and when Dern just brought those haymakers that we weren't expecting and really just overpowered Jan Jaroba in that third round, that when she fought Dern. I think she's freaking awesome. And Murata is crazy tough in her corners. Should have not let her fight an entire 5 minutes of a broken arm. That was a bad idea. That kind of had hopefully that Murata's arm doesn't have long-term damage. But man, a lot of broken arms recently in the UFC. Holy moly. I just hated this fight because it was so low in the card and just it's just a forgotten fight, you know, unfortunately. And we're gonna see Jandroba, you know, she's a title contender. She'll be, I don't know if she'll fight for a title, but she's gonna be right up there very soon. And she is incredible. And I think it looks like she learned a lot from that Dern loss too. I couldn't believe how heavy she was swinging those fists at the opening minutes. So she was like, she looked like she was still pissed from losing that Dern fight. So I'm very high on her.
That left hand head kick combination she landed in the second round was nasty, so nasty. Her striking's getting better and better. Yeah. And
have you ever seen a fighter like Murata like fight that long with clearly a just. Like the whole time I was watching, like I was like, "Oh, Verna, just take her down." Because right now, Murata can kind of defend herself with one arm, but if she gets taken down, she would have nothing to defend herself with. So, I mean, luckily she didn't get taken down because that kind of seriously messed up her arm. But I was kind of annoyed of Jandroba that she didn't go for any sort of takedown that second round. That arm was you could have seen how messed up her arm was like from the parking lot. It was pretty obvious.
And of course, Adelaide Bird had to rear her head into the conversation. Oh, the only God. Judge to score the first round scores the round for Murata. How can you score that 10-9 for her? Like, I understand that she got on top for like a few seconds, but how can you not score that round for Jandroba? That's insane, Jose. It is insane. That is egregious.
Yeah, it's Adelaide Bird. It's like she's a bad judge or something. I wonder if she has a history of just crap decisions and not knowing how to watch MMA or boxing for that matter in Las Vegas. But guess what? She's never going to leave because Las Vegas Commission is literally all politics. She's never going. She's not going anywhere.
Who just walked by?
Some ghost.
Just anybody?
I don't even know who that was.
Some ghost?
Wait.
I thought he was wearing like an old school 1990s Razor Ramon t-shirt.
Look at this.
Oh, we got a dog fight going. It's Jandroba Murata too.
Yeah, I know.
Getting ladies, after it.
Ladies, fights are over. Hey. Jeez.
They got excited talking
to you. Hey, a little professionalism here. A little professional. Oh, this is I apologize. I mean, they should know better. They're senior ladies too. They're like 12. They're like 13 and 14 years old. My goodness. I apologize.
We go from Matt Brown to Jandroba Murata. I mean, that fires everybody up. Parisian first UFC win, split decision. Thought Martinez should have got his first UFC win. Was that Ramundi?
That was Ramundi. All right. Yeah. If you don't know Ramundi, he works for some Connecticut sports blog. And yeah.
What is that? Is that like a bi-monthly newsletter?
Yeah, it's like a newsletter. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, what is it, like a MailChimp server?
MailChimp. Yeah, you use MailChimp.com. Yeah. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Is he wearing a Ramones shirt? Oh, no, different shirt.
Showing off his strength.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey,
how are we doing?
Hey. He can't hear you. Doing fine. Everyone, he's doing good. He's great. He's doing good.
This like this whole thing is just going off the rails. It's like a perfect, like perfect thing for this for this particular night because things are really about to get off the rails in the boxing world. Of course, Ricky Glenn and then Casey O'Neill. I got to give it a shout out to Casey O'Neill because she's made me look like a genius. Like I try to come on here and try to enlighten the folks on up and coming prospects and people making their debuts. And I came out here and I said, Casey O'Neill's an animal. She's going to do big things, even though she was 5-0 at the time. Goes out there and finishes Lara Procopio. Like that is impressive, man. That was an impressive performance. She started off a little slow. Procopio had a good game plan early on, but O'Neill, man, that pressure just doesn't stop. Like, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It just keeps coming and coming. And if you're not ready for it, like, if you're not trying to match that pace, you're in for a long night. I don't care how long you've been in the sport or how much of a veteran you are. She's going to keep that pace on you, and she's going to put you in some big problems. So what did you think of her performance, Casey, from the other Casey?
Great. I wasn't as high on her as you are, but and I'm still not. But she's clearly UFC caliber. She's a future top contender. She's gonna be top 10 within, you know, 2 or 3 fights. She's awesome. Fight's exciting. Good on the mic. Just a great signing by the UFC, and I'm just excited to see her progression. And I think. I think we're just done with saying the UFC women's flyweight is a weak division or it's a throwaway division. You know, I think we're done with that. Just so many good lady flyweights are coming about now. And I'm excited about 125ers. And Kaysa Nil, she's like Andrew Lee, Miranda Maverick, you know, just a lot of just really good 125ers coming up the ranks. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see her progression.
Yep, she looked really good tonight. Yeah, that was a big win.
Yeah. Why so early in the card? I'm like, UFC, whatever.
Yeah. It's probably just for the time zone stuff for the Scottish fans and the Australian fans to be able to watch her compete, get her on early, and then go to bed if they choose to do so. So what is going on in the boxing? Let me just take a gander. Someone's coming down. I think we're still like 2 fights away from the Anderson Silva fight.
Who's fighting now?
It could be. I'm trying to see who's walking. Let me see. Ramon Alvarez is currently making the walk. He's being wrapped to the ring by, it looks like the 2 guys who used to be PG-13 in the pro wrestling world back in the 90s.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. So I think we got this and then another one to go before the Silva fight. Oh boy, it's gonna be a long night.
Yeah.
Are we gonna stay on? Let's go to the peeps.
Yeah, let's go to the peeps. All right. Peeps, sweet peeps.
Yeah, we'll go to the peeps. Basically what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about this for a little while longer. And then we will take a breather. We'll take a break. Let you guys stretch out, take the dog for a walk.
Yes,
make some pizza, whatever you want to do. Go to the local Packy, grab a 12 pack of your favorite brew, and then come on back.
This is Ramon Alvarez walking in, right? Yeah. So there's that, and then you got Chavez Sr., which everyone wants to watch, and then you got the main event. Oh, Canelo's out there.
All right, maybe some questions.
So we got some Canelo's time.
Brother fought, I'm pretty sure. Didn't his brother fight?
Yeah, he had a first round knockout, I think.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
new shirt.
Not new, but special occasion. You know, one of my few T-shirts. I still have sleeves on. How about that?
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Because I'm on air so much. I was like, oh man, I can't rip off sleeves off all my shirts. I have to save a couple just for this. All right,
we're both crushing throwback shirts today. Yeah. You have your cranberry shirt on.
What are you wearing?
I got my Wade Boggs 83 rookie card Tops T-shirt on.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy.
There you go.
Tough fight for Davy Grant. Should he face the winner of Sean O'Malley versus Lewis Smolka next?
35.
Davy Grant fight the winner of that fight?
Is it
Davey? Or Vera fight the winner of that fight?
I think they're saying Davy Grant.
That's a 35ers. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Winner? I don't know the winner. Yeah, especially if O'Malley wins, I don't see that happening. I guess
the loser.
If O'Malley wins, he's probably going to fight Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to see O'Malley Vera again. I really want to see that.
I had no idea Omar Chavez was fighting on this card, too. That is bizarre. Just a family affair tonight.
Yes. I don't know. It, for my money, put Davy Grant in there against anybody, and I'm watching it. That dude is such a gamer.
I would say this. I was never high on Davy Grant, but I thought he was going to get whooped up tonight. I mean, he did lose the fight, but it was hella competitive. And Grant, you know, on the right day, would have beaten Vera. No, if they fought 10 times, you know, Grant definitely wouldn't have got smoked 10 out of 10 times. Grant's definitely improved, and much more dangerous striker than he used to be. And yeah, I I'm excited.
They'll do the third fight eventually. They'll do the third fight eventually, I think.
Certainly. I want to see it again. If they did it right away, I wouldn't be mad at it because Bantamweight's so loaded up right now.
If they both win their next few, I wouldn't hate like a five rounder for the rubber match.
I like that idea too. We always talk about, you know, these different like adjectives we give to these fighters like over the years, like motivated Connor and C-level Kane, all that stuff. And then we talk about like the adjectives for the round guys, like, you know, fifth round Robbie Lawler is a dangerous guy. And then there's second round Derek Lewis is a dangerous guy. Is third round Marlon Vera like one of the best? Because this dude, it's like he never gets off to a good start. And it's always this, like, he might be one of the best pound for pound second half fighters in the UFC right now. Like when that hits like 229 of the second round, he's a new man and he just unleashes fury. Like third round for that guy, he's so good. It's so hard to beat him. Like, where do you rank third round Marlon Vera? I know it's like a weird kind of open-ended question, but where do you rank third round Marlon Vera?
To be determined, because he's also lost two decisions in his last four fights. So if he keeps it up, then we can start. Because what was it? The win tonight, and what was the one before that? He lost to Aldo. Before that, he beat Sean O'Malley in the first round. And before that, he quote unquote lost to Song Yadong.
But wasn't a really strong third round from Vera in the Dong fight?
Yadong? Yeah, but that too is weird because Song fades a lot in his fight. So that was like a combo of Song faded. And Song I don't know. See, I see you shaking your head, but I was going to hold on. Let me finish first. I was going to say, I don't think for that fight, I don't think Vera just like hit the gas. I think he stayed the same and Song faded. So it looked like he just picked it up. But I just think Song Yadong faded.
Everyone fades in.
But yeah, I think we can all agree Marlon won that fight anyway.
Actually, I had Yadong winning.
But yeah, whatever. But
it was close. Yeah, it was
of course you did. Of course you did.
Was it? Of course it. I don't know what. Oh, am I alpha male guy?
You're always different. But everyone's I'm like, oh, it's 48-47. Here comes Casey, 50-43.
It's called a contrarian.
I was going to go with hipster, but a contrarian's fine.
No, he doesn't like being called hipster.
Hipster has no meaning.
There we go.
It has no meaning.
Hipster has no meaning, he's saying.
No. There's no meaning to it. Name something that has some meaning. Call me an elitist. Yeah, I like good shit. I'm a tastemaker.
Except for that white paint.
The tastemakers.
Order in bulk. Casey, you don't eat vegetables. You eat french fries or potatoes for all of your meals and then have Soylent. Like, no. Like, we're not talking about I like good shit and I'm this and that. No. I don't want to hear that.
You're the only
person I've ever met that drinks Soylent straight up.
Hey man, I'm cutting down. I'm getting to my life. I gotta get to my.
That's
fine. I'm walking around at welterweight now. I used to be a 205er. I'm walking around at welterweight. Got to work down the lightweight. You know.
Mm-hmm. You want to get? Where do you want to get to? What's the goal weight?
When we went to Anaheim, Casey opened his. Casey opened the car door when we were in Anaheim for a UFC fight, and a bunch of his bags had like jostled around the back, and like seven bottles of Soylent rolled out into the parking lot. I've never seen so much Soylent in one place in my life, and it was all just like rolling around. And Casey's like, my Soylent. He was like picking it all up and like walking back to his car. I was like, whoa.
I live on the especially pre-pandemic. I lived on the road, and like I just like you got to be healthy. I got to be healthy, guys.
What? Yeah, it can be dangerous out there for sure.
I don't drink. I don't drink anymore now. It's just like I'm a new Casey. I'm a tastemaker.
Toilet has no taste.
It tastes like cereal.
So what do you want to get down to?
I want to walk at 165 and then fight at 155.
You want to fight at 155?
Yeah.
What fight where?
I don't know. A local promotion. Street beefs. I don't talk about this publicly. Street beefs.
All right.
Yeah, sorry. It's like my thing I do, you know?
Listen, we got 90 minutes until Anderson Silva fights.
Charles Bellamy Bennett.
Okay, I'm in.
That would scare me, but I'm not too. I'm down, but
you'd probably win.
Yeah,
You just got to get past the first 35 seconds.
You know what we say on these post-fight shows? We love veteran versus prospect matchups. I can't think of a better one than Felony Bennett versus Casey Lydon in an MMA fight.
That might be the best one ever.
Oh, my God. Don't do this.
All right, what else did the peeps say? That was a good scrap, though. Really good fight. Davy Grant versus Marlon Vera. Those short little elbows, man. Whew.
He threw... David Grant, I got stunned and he just froze for a moment. And Marlon Vera just like threw four elbows in a row, like that. I was like, holy crap. He was spamming elbows so fast. Yeah, it was amazing. But
I thought Michael Bisping was really good in that fight on commentary just because he's been in the gym with Marlon.
I was going to talk about Michael Bisping because normally, okay, I like Michael Bisping when he's in the booth, like the booth in between fights. I'm not big on him doing play by play or color during the fights, but. One thing commentators always say, and I hate, but it made sense for Vera when, especially that third round, they went like, Marlon Vera is a true fighter. And I was like, that's such a cheesy line. But then when I watch Vera, I go, yeah, I get it. You know, because, yeah, I get, you know, you just, there's some guys you just, yeah, okay, I get it, Vera. Because like, he was just tired, exhausted, and yet he just had more in him in that third round, Marlon Vera. And when everyone else fades, Song Yadong faded. Marlon Vera is still there, full speed, and that's amazing. So, yeah. Marlon Vera is getting at that must-watch TV thing. You know, he's got to get a higher-level fight, but, like, has he been in boring fights? I mean, boring Marlon Vera? I can't. He's, even in his losses, like, I think he's always just an exciting fighter. All right.
Yeah, he's a scrapper.
Oh, here. Next one on Vera, actually.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yeah. Yep. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAC.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
Okay. And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thoughts on Chito Vera's call tonight. A possible win over Dominic Cruz would benefit Vera's career and position in the rankings. I got to say, and I don't know how you guys felt about it. First of all, the timing was great. His wherewithal was great. And then on top of that, I think that fight makes all the sense in the world. Makes perfect sense to me. I mean, Sean O'Malley, I liked. Like, I liked the O'Malley-Cruz idea when, you know, O'Malley's making those cool videos and calling out Cruz and doing all these different things. Like, I dug it. And if they made it, I would have been all in on it. But now that O'Malley's going to fight coming up on July 10th, Vera versus Dominic Cruz scratches me right where I itch. Not going to lie. What do you guys think of that?
I don't hate it. Don't hate it. Was there any beef there? That was just, was that more of just a mutual respect thing? It was like, or for Vera? I think
that's more of a guy who sees Dominic Cruz as a big name that's ranked high and he thinks he can beat him. So I think it's just, you know, take a spot kind of fight. Yeah.
Cool.
No beef there.
No beef.
Even Don, because I don't listen to the commentary a lot, but I wanted to see if he would call out Dom. So I unmuted it for that. And Dom even said, I respect the call out, but probably so. But based on Dom's answer, I don't think it's going to happen because he said everyone wants to fight up, including me.
Yeah.
I just don't know who Dom fights at this point, unless he fights. Frankie Edgar.
Yeah,
I guess, yeah.
Or if Marlon beats Marab, you know I'm all in on Cruz, Marlon Moraes.
Oh, that was my fight for like 5 years. One of my longest features that I wrote for fans. Cruz Moraes.
Marab is 10, Dom is 9. If Marab beats Marlon, and he jumps up to 7, why, like Cruz Marab too, that he would be fighting up. And then you could be like, Dom, Marab, no one wants to fight Marab. He's ranked higher than you. Take the fight. You said it. And then he can take it. And then Marab can just do his thing.
he will pick up the phone and call Marlon Vera right away.
Yeah.
Be like, dude, you know what? I changed my mind. I'll fight you instead of Marab. That's such a high risk, low reward fight. Mm-hmm. That's a dangerous man.
Or if Aldo loses to Munoz, Cruz Aldo is fun too.
Yeah, we have to see that fight at some point. Mm-hmm. Cruz Aldo, Cruz Edgar.
Oh yeah,
Cruz Aldo.
That's amazing. As much as I want to see Vera versus Cruz, I mean, Cruz, I don't know how many fights he has left in him at a high level. There's too many other big names. I mean, unfortunately for Vera. I think Vera's he just doesn't have that history. You know, he's not on the Legends Tour yet, you know, like Cruz is, I think.
Or
he just fought Jose Aldo. So, I mean, he's been in there with names. I mean, it's not totally out of the blue.
And if he went to be in Aldo, then you have a different story. But he lost to Aldo, and I think I don't think he doesn't have that name value, unfortunately, for Dominic. And if Dominic only has like say 3 fights left, I don't want to see one of those fights versus Vera. Even though I love Vera,
I think Dom took that fight against Casey Kenney because he was on a 2 fight losing streak, and at that point, that even Jacare said like you just can't say no to fights. You just say
that
yes.
That's a smart fight.
Yeah,
that's a perfect.
Would any of them be opposed to Dom Cody 2, or the loser is Dillashaw Sanhagen? Against Cruz, I wouldn't hate either of those. Like the rematch against TJ, I think Cruz TJ is one of the best fights I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And then everyone has been talking about Sanhagen Cruz and Sanhagen's first UFC fight. So like, I think a lot of fights have to play out, but I feel like we've been saying that with Dominic Cruz forever because he's been out until he fought Casey Kenney.
Yeah.
And he's gonna get matched up with something bizarre, like I don't know,
like Cody Stamann or something like that. You're okay. Like that's how it's gonna end up being.
Exactly.
He's gonna fight Davison Figueiredo, who bumps up to 35. Oh, it's gonna be something like completely crazy.
I would still love that fight.
Although that's not crazy. That actually is kind of fun. The champ coming. Okay, that's kind of cool. I didn't even think about that, but that's pretty cool.
We just change everything.
Yeah. But the point being, I think Cruz has to fight some kind of more of a story. I think at this point in his career, that's all.
Yeah, I do want to see the Dillashaw fight again.
Yeah, I know. Or
Cody. Love to see it. Cody's fun. Casey versus Mike Jackson.
I like Mike Jackson, but there's a bad
fellow media member.
There's a
Matt Brown like Diego Lima too. This is a prize fighting, my man. That's right. Casey Hatt doesn't even have a fight. He's being picky.
Yeah, I know.
Casey hasn't even just went out of what class.
What's Mike Jackson even ranked? What's he ranked?
You know what we do? What we do for Cody Garbrandt? We get him the lowest ranked bantamweight. Who is it? Casey Lydon? Get him in there. Get a win for Cody Garbrandt.
Should we try to get Chito Vera on What the Heck this week?
Please.
Oh yeah.
Please.
Let's make it happen.
Please.
Let's make it happen. Maybe we can get Korean Zombie. How about Ricky Glenn?
Ricky Glenn.
Get Roki and Ricky.
AK. AK just not respecting Ricky Glenn. That is just, that guy is.
He's Canadian. He's Canadian. They get free healthcare and they all of a sudden they can pick your names.
I talked to Cub Swanson about coming down there and working with Cub, and Cub was very excited, but he was in busy. He was in fight camp, and we were still in the pandemic era, and neither of us were fully vaccinated yet. But now that we're all in the clear, I'm gonna give Cub a little. I'm gonna slide into his DMs and see what's up. I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but we'll see. Enough about me. You know what? Let's switch gears a second. We haven't talked about this.
Have you guys talked about the Rory decision?
We talked about it on the Q&A, and we all think it was on the level of Sanchez and Pearson.
Yeah, it was very, very bad.
I had an easy 30-27 Rory. I was about to publish Rory McDonald wins. Like about to post it. And I was like, and then they said split, and I was like, oh, that's weird. That's weird. Then they said Glass Tebow. I was like, that's stupid. That was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen in my life.
But it was even greater for the PFL because they put, like, you know, the little judges' decision. I mean, not judges, like the analysts who they're predicting, yeah, the fans. And it was like Roy, 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 Roy. And then judges, dude, was like Gleason. And they put that graphic up for like half a second before they took it down. I was like, no.
The commentators, like Kenny Florian and, oh my God, what's his name? Former UFC fighter from Utah.
Randy Couture?
Couture.
Couture. Who's the other guy?
Sean
O'Connell. Was he not there?
Sean O'Connell.
Sean O'Connell. They were all like, they were baffled by the decision.
Rightfully taken aback.
And I was like, you're not wrong, gentlemen.
It was very bad. Very bad. And
Gleason Tebow was coming out with his interview being like, I don't see how Rory won. I'm like, come on, bro.
Come on, jeez.
Of course.
I love some goofy decisions, but come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very bad decision. Our friend Alex K. Lee wrote a robbery review on that already. So you can go check that out. And AK, I mean, you can see why. I mean, no one's going to say like Tebow won except for Tebow and maybe like his manager. But come on, that's a bad decision. Terrible.
Is Ali his manager?
I think so.
Yeah, Ali's like, he was moving forward. I was like, so?
that's just Ali doing his job.
Yeah, I know. He's doing his job, but I was just like,
That was like Giga Chikadze saying Marvin Vettori won the first three rounds against Israel Adesanya or something to that extent. Yeah, I'm like, are you nuts? Come on. You have to like support your guys, but that's just silly and egregious.
What do you think? Yeah.
So now with that loss, I don't know if they have actually made the match upset. You can leave that up there.
Yeah.
But I think Rory might have to fight Magomed Karimov in the playoffs. And if that's the case, that is a brutal draw after like winning a fight or losing a fight you should have won. You have to fight that.
I'm hoping they read this for when the night it happened, I was hoping for. Because I'm sure, I know Casey watched. I don't know if Mike, you watched, but the YouTube versus TikTokers boxing exhibition. I can't remember who it was, but the co-main event, and I don't know who either of the individuals were. Or might have been the main event. I don't remember. The announcer read the scores wrong.
Oh.
And announced it as a draw. But like if you watch the fight, it was like if Tebow and McDonald was announced as a draw, but they put up the stats and one guy clearly cooked the other guy. And they announced it as a draw. And then the one that clearly lost was like, nah, I think I won. And then the next day, the quote unquote commission came out with a picture of the scorecards, and he basically just he basically 50-45'd him, and they just read it wrong.
Oh my God.
It was so funny to me. I'm like, of course this would happen.
It is pretty stressful being
a guy won every single round, and they were like, draw. I loved it. I was like, I was like hoping like boxing, like the new boxing fans and like these social media personalities are boxing now. They're like, oh, I wonder if this happens a lot. I'm like, it happened every day, my guy.
I appreciate the shade that Jose just threw at me when going, I know Mike didn't watch it, but Casey, I know you watch YouTube, TikTok. Right?
Paige VanZant was the Joe Rogan for it. She was the commentator and then went and interviewed all the fighters.
Good for her.
I wrote up one of the knockout videos from that card.
There was
knocked the dude through the ropes.
There were two. Because I genuinely wanted it, because a few of them have been training with Ryan Garcia and Canelo's team. And they kept talking about them on interviews. And I was like, I wonder if these guys are good. So I tuned in for the last three. None of the people they said were good were any good. But two of their opponents were like, could make legitimate amateurs, I think. Like, they put the time in. I don't know any of their names, though.
What a world. Does Korean Zombie join the list of fighters who want to fight Yair Rodriguez? Giga posted a video. He called Yair the P word. First of all, if you're Yair, and I don't even care how long you've been out for, it's been almost 2 years at this point. Max Holloway was on the other side of that contract. I don't care how long it takes. You're waiting for that guy. I mean, there's no other fight that even interests you unless it's for the title.
The only fight, if you don't get Max, they give you the title instead. But basically fighting Max is fighting who a lot of people consider to be the best featherweight in the world.
They gave him a kind of a non-title fight by Max. You wait. But we don't know what's going on with Max. We don't know We don't know. No one knows officially yet, right?
I saw a lot of people online saying if the fight was even official or if this is the UFC kind of pressuring Max to take the fight by announcing it too early.
Oh.
You know? And then Max is I understand, but you get the optics. Like, it wouldn't be the first time we've seen something like that.
Yeah, the UFC pressure someone.
Yeah, just talking to people who in the know, so to speak, didn't seem that way. Hmm. So, if you're the Korean Zombie and they offer you Yair, I am sure you're jumping on it. You don't even care about the date. You just say yes because that first fight was insane and ended in the most insane way ever. Sure, he'd love to get back. Get a guy above him and try to negate one of the craziest losses in UFC history.
Top three knockouts in the history of MMA.
Absolutely.
100%.
I try very hard to be impartial on press row. Like, by impartial means, I genuinely don't care who wins fights. I am very good at watching a fight down the middle. But when something crazy happens, you know, sometimes you just kind of lose control of your body. I try really hard not to do anything. Like, I was watching like the Nate Diaz Leon Edwards fight. I was watching my arms folded like this, but when Nate hit that like 1-2, I kind of like my body jolted back a bit, and like that's the extent of what happened. But when Yair hit that elbow, I literally just went like, "Oh fuck!" Like so loud. That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
I'm an eyebrow raiser. Like, yeah. The wider my eyes get, the cooler the moment, and the more vicious the strike. So like. Covering like the Bellator event from a few weeks ago, I was just like, okay, yeah, yeah. But when Michael Page kicked Derek Anderson in the face, my eyes were like above my head. I was like, ooh, good thing I'm not on camera right now because that's an ugly ass face.
Like for Fight Island, like when Habib did his thing and Izzy knocked out Paolo and Brian Ortega hit that spinning back elbow, I didn't have any reaction. The fans in attendance, a full crowd in Glendale. When it was 1-2 from Nate, and then I couldn't hear Oscar Willis. I couldn't hear him say anything. It was so loud in there that my body like jolted, like someone electrocuted me when Nate Diaz hit that. I thought he was about to knock Leon Edwards out, and it would have been the craziest fifth round I've ever seen.
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, Jose, can you do an impression of me watching Connor versus Nate 1?
Oh. After when we like,
we were saying that,
have you heard the story, Mike?
We really didn't know.
I don't think so.
We were just kind of
me and Casey very much like each other, we knew of each other from like the being on the road so much. But this was at the old MGM. The MGM is still there, but they don't have really fights anymore. Yeah, and we got the auxiliary seating, and me and Casey happened to be sitting next to each other. And we were like, oh, Jose, oh, I'm Casey. Yeah, we've met before, but we're about to watch something crazy.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the fight, we were like, literally like, oh my God, what's happening?
What is happening? Yeah.
We were like shaking each other and like beer was like pouring on us. We were like, we got to get back. So we ran back because those old MGMs, you have to enter through the concourse and go down. So you have to literally enter with the crowd to get to press row and stuff. So we ran back because we knew if the Irish started like causing chaos, we'd have to get back to the studios A and B. ASAP. That was one of the loud. That is top five loudest arenas I've ever been. Ever been inside. Oh my God! I was wearing like a nice suit, and it's like I jumped into a pool because the amount of beer that was being thrown around.
I'm sure it was scenes, man. Scenes. Oh, I remember watching that I think I was playing. We had played poker for a while, and then the fight came on, and I was just like, wow, can't believe that just happened. But it was pretty cool. And then Nate cut that promo, and it was like, woo.
I couldn't hear it. I didn't hear it until like the next day because you can't hear anything in there. I didn't hear anything anyone said like on this past Saturday in Glendale. I heard no post-fight interview.
It was wild.
This fight rules too between Chavez and Alvarez. This fight is so good.
Who's Alvarez? I don't know very much about him.
That's Canelo's brother.
Oh, that's Canelo's brother. Okay. Oh, yeah. You mentioned it. Sorry.
Is it? Wait, no. I'm not. Am I thinking the right guy? Whatever. Regardless. It's something, some relation, I think.
Okay.
Because Canelo, they keep cutting to Canelo. And he's going ballistic.
Close enough. He's yelling at him. So,
He keeps going ballistic. And then Chavez is the younger Chavez. Not Chavez Jr., but Chavez Jr.'s brother. Who does my hair? So it's True North Barber, downtown Phoenix. They trim it up, and then I do the rest.
You do the rest? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Got a lot of blood in this fight.
Yeah, it's a scrap, man. I'm not gonna say it's a beautiful fight, but it's like a fun fight. It's a Mexican fight.
Yeah,
like it. Shout out to Sheila for including the accent as well.
Wait, so just so I know, we're like on the same. We don't have any delays. So what are you?
I am on about 2:15 of round six.
Really.
Unless I'm behind.
I'm at 2:45 of round six. You're 30 seconds ahead of me.
Okay.
Where are you watching? Round six yet.
I'm watching on the Fight TV app on the, like, cause like my TV has a fight app.
Okay. Hold on. All right. We might have to get on the same.
What we'll do. Yeah. Yeah, and what we'll also do is, like, we'll all try to sync up at the same time, and then we'll do, like, 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm at 2. Now the sixth round has begun on mine.
Okay, yeah.
The sixth round just began on yours? I'm at 1:30.
So I'm literally a minute and 20 seconds behind you.
Yeah. Dude, probably more. Anderson Silva's walking out on mine.
Yeah. No. Fight's over. Anderson Silva died.
Hey.
Wow, this got real dark.
It's like, so I don't know if you were there, Casey, but I watched last year's Double or Nothing with the individual that was walking around your house right now. We all zoomed in. Like, we all had a Zoom and we were watching. I was a good like 7 minutes behind everyone.
Oh, that long, that far?
Oh, it was unreal. People were like, oh, that's nuts. And then like, I'm like, I'm not even, that match hasn't even happened yet.
You know what's funny, when you're at the Apex in the media room and I'm watching the fights, I have to make sure I turn your mic off because I can hear like the horns and you guys going, what a knockout. I'm like, oh, what happened?
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Yep.
This is a fun fight though.
You guys ruin it for me.
There's a lot of blood on this gentleman.
Chavez. Oh, the doctors are wearing full white trench coats too. That is not a good idea.
So I'm at
45. Guess it was raining there for a while too.
Oh, boxing in the rain. I've never watched a live boxing match in the rain. It looks aesthetically, it looks awesome. I imagine it has to be a nightmare for the boxers.
Oh yeah, that was
like
Mayweather, freaking Logan Paul, like the prelim fights were had to stop for the rain for a while.
I was gonna say Minoru Suzuki wrestled Kazuchi Okada in the rain outside in Japan, and the photos of that match are amazing. Like when they slap, and it's because it's like raining, it's not drizzling. So like when they slap, you can see like the watermarks of their hands and like the water exploding on the chest and everything. That just looked cool. But it seems like such a nightmare to deal with.
Yeah. Oh. So we got this fight. We have one more and then the Silva fight. We'll all try to sync up. So if you're like watching on TV, just pause it. If you're watching on your computer, just pause it.
Are we going to start a new stream for that?
We'll probably just keep this one.
Just keep some music going on for a while.
Yeah, it's up to you. We could probably take a couple more questions.
Yeah, take a couple.
And then we'll take a little breather. Maybe some folks got to hit the grocery store and prepare for such an iconic moment in MMA fighting history.
Oh, we got
it. I guess Jose is already doing that.
All right, peace out, Jose. Let's see, you can go. Wait, hold on. Here we go.
All right, we'll hang out for like another 10 minutes. Did Mike's team win the charity golf event? We did not win the charity golf event. We had fun though. We shot under par. That's always my goal. We birdied the first four holes, and then we were very average the rest of the way. Very, very medium. Couple bogeys. lot of opportunities to score, and we just couldn't do it. We couldn't putt for crap and couldn't get anything close. We would be within 100 yards, and then we'd hit a ball, and we'd have like 40-foot putts for birdie, and just awful. But we had fun, and a lot of money was raised for breast cancer research through the Jimmy Fund, and that's why we do it. And I got to hit a tee shot with hockey gloves on. It's my favorite part of the tournament. and we got a birdie on that hole, which is great. But it was fun. I did a lot of driving yesterday. I woke up at 3:15 in the morning, took a shower, hit the road at 4:15, got there about 6:45, teed off at 8, ate some food, and then right back in the car. And it was like almost a 4-hour drive home because of traffic. So it sucked to drive home. What else we got?
Real quick. Talk to some other sprots.
Suns.
I'm going to go Suns. Make Shaheen happy.
Yeah. Sean.
Jose had no opinion.
That's it.
Wait, Jose, I'm here. Where are you at, Jose? I'm hearing your little beeping thing, but you're not showing up. There you are.
Should we do another stream or what?
We have another. Jose, want to go to that other stream that we set up and just change? Wait, you're frozen. God dang it. We'll go to another stream because we'll still have like 45 minutes and then we'll have another whole fight. Yeah, we'll go to another stream because the other one we'll have it. This one's YouTube only, so we'll have the other one on all the social platforms.
I don't think Chavez Sr. Camacho is going to go the full rounds. Considering Chavez Sr. is like 60 or 70 something years old. But I think it's only 8 rounds too, right? Since it's exhibition.
So what do we think? Reconvene at 12 Eastern?
Something like that.
Suns in 6, by the way.
Suns in 6?
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. All right. So for those of you watching right now that are getting amped up to watch some boxing with us, because we have no idea what the hell is going to happen. This is a total crapshoot, and I'm very excited about it. Do what you got to do. Go get your refreshments. Run to the store before it closes. Come on back. Get comfy. And in about 35 minutes, we're going to get you fired up for Anderson Silva's return to combat sports in the boxing ring. And this should be glorious, friends. Should be glorious. We'll react. We'll smile. Maybe cry. Who knows? But join us and we'll do it all together. So for Jose, for Casey, I am Mike Heck. Enjoy the intermission. We'll see you on the other side and we'll watch some boxing.
See you boxing.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.